the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. Back again. Thanks for joining us all, one and all. It's the Bucket Strategy Investing Program, and lucky who's here once again. It's Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group with me, Johnny Dean. We're teaming up. We're ready to take your questions, and we're going to try to help you meet all of your retirement goals. That's our goal right here. Going to start things off with a look this hour for just a little bit at alternative investments or alternative buckets, whichever one you want to call it. They're both kind of the same thing. If you have a bucket strategy, we'll call it alternative buckets. Now, you may already know about the three major bucket categories. You may already know about some of the common investment categories. You got stocks, bonds, and cash. In buckets, you got short, midterm, and long-term. But today, we're going to focus for a little bit on the alternative buckets that you might want to set up as an offshoot of one or two of the others. All right? You got that? I think so. We're also going to, if we have time, get into bucketizing the buckets, something very close to that. So we'll talk about all that in just a couple of moments, along with anything else that you would like to discuss. If you got a question for the Brain Trust, you give us a call right now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. That's 877-752-6637. We got most every line open right now, so get on board with the Brain Trust. To send us your emails, you go over to wealthed.com, click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page, ask us a question, send it to us, and we'll get it here in the studio. Professor Rick Plum, as I said, he's here again today, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You really should know by now that you need a buckets strategy. You need one that's tailored specifically to meet whatever your goals, whatever your needs are. Otherwise, it really isn't doing you much good, is it? You call the professor or anyone at Lucia Capital Group at their offer number, 800-644-1150. You can meet with an advisor. You can get your strategy set up. Get it going. I said everyone's situation is different. It's true. Everyone's retirement plan is also different. True again. One more time, the number to reach them off the air at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. And on the air, that's the important one right now, 877-PLANNER. Any particular question you have on money, finance, strategy, saving, whatever it is, you give us a call and we're going to talk to you about it. Everyone has money issues and that's why we're here. So let's just see where we can go with this, Professor Plum, with regard to things like alternative investments. I mean, for a lot of people, it's kind of out there in the realm of the unknown. You know, people are familiar with stocks and bonds and, of course, cash, which to them is anything, you know, to many people is anything other than a stock or a bond. But there are places to go other than that.
Right. And somebody out there may be saying, well, what about ETFs? What about mutual funds and things? Those are stocks and bonds. I mean, an ETF is just a different way to buy into a portfolio of stocks or bonds for the most part. A mutual fund is a way to buy into a portfolio where somebody else is managing your portfolio of stocks and or bonds. And so they are just different forms of the same thing. And how you go about buying them, you're still dealing with stocks, bonds, and cash. They're still, with a stock or, you know, a bond, you can buy and sell it at any given moment of any given day that the market is open. With a mutual fund, you can trade them at the end of the day. You buy in or you sell off at the value at the end of every trading day. That's the way mutual funds work. But you're still buying stocks, you're still buying bonds, or you're putting it into money market and things of that nature. So when we talk about alternatives, we're talking about something a little bit different than the traditional investments that the average person would know how to use or be able to have access to. Anybody who's studied the larger investors of the world, and when we're talking about larger investors, we're talking about pension funds, we're talking about foundations, endowment funds, the people that have lots of money and how they go about. Now, pensions have to manage cash flow because they're bringing money in from new people, the companies that are funding the pension, but they've got a lot of retirees that they're funding money out, so they have to maintain a steady cash flow going out. Endowments have a steady cash flow in. They may not have the steadiest of money coming in from donations because sometimes donations are very large, sometimes they're not, sometimes they don't happen. So they've got a certain amount of money and they're more focused on income. And so we can learn a lot from these larger investment pools that have a focus of income, especially if we're looking at retirees, because what is the focus of a retiree? For most people, it's an income stream. How do we generate a reasonable income stream from a given portfolio? And looking at these larger pools of money, a lot of them. Now, they don't have the same constraints that you and I might have. And one of them is our emotions. They tend to be much more detached, rational investors than you and I are, because our money seems a little bit more sacrosanct than anything else. But their goal of creating income is very strong and special to them. So they want to make sure that they have that income. But they take a little bit more scientific approach to how they create that income. How do they do it? Well, a lot of times, many of them are dealing with things that may be a little less liquid. Things other than stocks, bonds, and cash. Yes, they do have stocks, bonds, and cash. They have a percentage of their portfolios in stocks, bonds, and cash. But they also invest in things that, for one reason or another, you and I typically don't do. One of the reasons that we don't invest in them from time to time is the barrier to entry. It costs too much to get into it.
You mean you got to be wealthier than you actually are in order to get into some of these alternative investments, or
they
what?
They have $1 million minimums, $5 million minimums, or some other type of a minimum. And so by that very nature, we can't use those unless we can somehow pool our money. You know, John and I pool our money with everybody else around here, a lot of everybody else, to get to that $1 million minimum.
People off the streets, anybody going by on the bus, yeah.
And we're dealing, and the other thing is, in many respects, liquidity. They can deal with a lack of liquidity because they are not expecting to draw down their principal. They're looking for income generation. They're looking for income more than anything else. Yes, they'd like to see some growth. That's why they probably have some stocks, bonds, and cash, mostly stocks in that area, to allow for future appreciation with volatility, obviously. But then they want to cover their cash needs through some other areas and hopefully get some growth out of there. So what are we talking about? We're talking about anything that's basically not stocks, bonds, or cash. A hedge fund or a hedging strategy could be a different type of alternative. But normally when we're looking at it, we're looking for something that has a different characteristic than stocks, bonds, or cash.
All right, so what are we looking at? When you say, what is an alternative investment? Give us an example.
The most common one is real estate. And the reason that real estate is common is because we all know what it is. We all, many of us, own some of it, or we in the bank own some of it, and we at least see what it is. And so real estate is a big, but like I said before, sometimes the barrier to entry. And just getting into a single rental property is a very potentially risky proposition unless you know what you're doing and know how to buy it. I've seen people make a lot of money on rentals, and I've seen people get hurt very badly on rentals. So getting into larger cash flowing investment properties usually takes a significant amount of capital. But by, again, pooling, like I talked about earlier, pooling our money together, we may be able to get into some of these larger areas. The key there is they're illiquid. Now, why would we want to do something like this? Well, because it acts differently than the market as a whole. In 2008, when we saw the stock market crater, the real estate market didn't crater right away. It took a little longer. So actually, the stock market was recovering when the real estate market was going down. So they have at times a different characteristic of going up and down. Also, the movements of the stock market is much more significant and severe over a shorter period of time. Much higher, much lower, much higher, much lower. So it's significantly more volatility over short periods of time, where real estate tends to have a longer wavelength, not necessarily higher or lower, but just at different times. So instead of being, you know, up 10%, down 20%, up 30%, you know, like we saw, it's maybe up 30% or down 20-30% over 5-10 years rather than over 5-10 months.
So we're modulating the frequency, not so much the amplitude, to put it in terms of AM and FM.
Which everybody understands. But yes, very good, very good. Yes.
Just thought I'd say that.
And what it does to the overall portfolio is it helps, from an overall portfolio standpoint, it helps reduce the overall volatility. Because if you've got something that's going down fairly significantly, like the stock market does from time to time, but you've got another portion of your portfolio that's not going down significantly, or even maybe going up at the same time, your overall portfolio looks a little better. And if that one asset is creating a nice cash flow, and so we can use that cash flow to live off of while we're waiting for things to go back. I know a lot of people that bought properties correctly. They were able to cash flow the properties. And then the real estate market took a dump, and then they just, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that have done very well in real estate, and one of the things they've told me is, when I ask, so how did you become so smart with real estate? I wasn't all that smart. I just was able to hold out, and I didn't have to sell my real estate when the market was down. unfortunately, with this last downturn that we saw in 2009, 10, 11, a lot of people walked away from their properties because they were so heavily leveraged, they had to walk away. They couldn't afford to maintain the property, and they lost their entire down payments and all the money they put into it up to that point, and they walked away. But if they could have somehow held off, now it's a much longer time horizon, obviously, than the stock market, many people make very good money as long as they can hold on. So it's that time period commitment that we have to look at, especially with alternative investments, real estate being common. Another area is lending, you know, high middle ground lending. Not, I mean, if you go to small business, they can get SBA loans. Super large, you know, Googles and things, Wall Street helps them all day. The middle ground is where we're having troubles.
Business development, that kind of thing.
That's right. Where there's another great area to deal with.
Okay, well, we'll talk some more about
potentially.
This. If you've got questions on any of this or anything else, you give us a call. Lines are open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we're taking your calls. We got some lines open right now, 877-PLANNER. Here to help you out with whatever issues that you have regarding your money. And we'll be doing this not just on this program and not just through phone calls at 877-PLANNER or emails at wealthed.com, but also through in-person visits. And the next one is coming up here. Oh, gosh. I think, is it this Friday already? I mean, Saturday, right? Yes. That's right. This Saturday, February 20th. Where hath the time went to? I'm kidding. never mind. February 20th, this Saturday, Las Vegas. Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, and the local advisors will be joining the Las Vegas. And in fact, all of Nevada will be there. You should be there at the Renaissance Hotel this Saturday in Las Vegas. Learn all about retirement income strategies. It's the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops brought to you by Lucia Capital Group. So this Saturday in Las Vegas, still a little bit of room. Well, still, there's room. We'll make room for everybody. Just let us know you'd like to be there. You go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com, to sign up. Of course, it's free. Get your money questions answered. After that, Seattle, Washington, that's February 27th, and then Phoenix, Arizona, happens a couple of weeks after that on March 12th. All Saturdays, all 9 o'clock local time starts. There will be more after that. We'll tell you more, and you can go right to the website, wealthed.com, to find out exactly where and when we're going to be there. It'll be somewhere that you're listening or watching this program. I can almost guarantee that. Wealthed.com. All right, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Okay, so you mentioned a couple of possible alternative investments. Again, we're talking about these things that you're going to get besides stocks, bonds, and cash. Real estate being perhaps what? The most common one.
Most common. People know about those.
Okay, and you said lending. Now as we get into these, though, I mean, this doesn't have to be for people with multi-millions of dollars.
It doesn't
right?
have to be. And that's one of the things that's happened over the past several decades, more recently, is they've been able to create these pooled funds. And many of them are in the form of real estate investment trusts or something similar. Some are limited partnerships, the smaller ones. So they do take some definite due diligence. You have to understand what's going on with them, understand how much leverage they're using, what they're investing in, how the coverage as far as their rents and things of that nature. But there's also different types of alternative investments. Now, should you be putting all your money into alternatives? No. I can't think of a single type of investment you should put all your money into, no matter what. Stocks, bonds, or cash, or any alternatives, but they do have a place in a portfolio because they can add to the potential return and actually reduce the volatility. The way they potentially add to the return is not necessarily that they're going to make a better return than anything else, but they can do it at different times. And they, because the portfolio tends to be moderated from a volatility standpoint, then you tend to be a little bit more rational, and you tend to sell it less, and you tend to react less, and you tend to just ride out the storms that are inevitable with the volatility in the market. So one of the things that people have seen lately, especially since the Frank Dodd Act, are these business development companies where lending to medium-sized companies. Now, medium-sized companies doesn't mean the mom-and-pop restaurant that just added another 5 tables to it down the street by taking over the space next door. You know, you're talking about $300-$500 million a year revenue businesses that want to expand, but they have trouble finding financing. And so they do pay a reasonable interest rate to somebody who's willing to lend to them. And so there's enough room in the middle for somebody to put together a portfolio of loans to these different companies, have enough for them to make money and pass it on to the investors, that and let the investors still make more money there than they may be able to get out of other bonds or other investments of same potential risk type issues. One of the keys there is they tend to also be illiquid. One of the things that happens in the alternative space is a liquidity issue. So you have to understand that there may be liquidity issues. Now, you can buy alternative type investments in liquid form. You can buy traded real estate trusts. You can buy traded business development companies. You can buy almost anything you can find in the alternative space. You can find in a liquid investment that's traded on the market. The only problem with that, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but it depends on why you're buying them in the first place. To get that alternative flavor, which means it acts differently than the market, you can't be the market. And if you've got a stock or a bond or something that even though it's invested in these underlying investments, if it acts just like the market, which a traded stock will do. We saw traded REITs drop dramatically in 2008. Not because the underlying real estate dropped that far, but because our individual appetite as investors dropped dramatically. And nobody wanted to buy them. And everybody wanted to sell them. And when there's a huge selling pressure, the price goes way down. One of the most widely traded REIT indexes, the one that's traded every day, it's a mutual fund, on the market, dropped, I think, a little over 75% peak to trough from 2008 to 2009.
That was barely a year, a little over a year is when that happened.
It happened very fast. Now, did real estate drop 75% in 8, 10, 12 months? No. It took a little while longer for it to drop. I don't think it dropped 75% unless you were in Phoenix or Las Vegas. And might have dropped that much there. But we're talking about big corporate buildings. They didn't drop 75%. Yeah, they did drop. But it was not the underlying asset that dropped. It was our desire for that asset. So when you look at traded aspects, they're much more volatile than non-traded aspects. Non-traded aspects have the illiquidity problem. Traded assets have the volatility problem.
But the reason you're doing this, I would think, is not so much for the liquidity on the alternative investment side. It's to give you a little bit different
flavor,
right. Now, there are people who would say, well, you got stocks and bonds. I mean, don't they, non-correlating asset?
Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they tended to be a non-correlating asset, but now they tend to be a lot more tightly correlated in what's going on. We saw in 2008, pretty much everything went down, stocks and bonds. So they were fairly highly correlated. So they've had a much tighter correlation in recent years than we've seen in historical terms. So we want to be able to add as much non-correlation if we can. But this is also why you don't just go crazy and overload on anything. You want 20, 30%. Now, the foundations go as much as 40, 50, 60% in alternatives. But they don't have anywhere near the liquidity or emotional needs that you and I have on our portfolios. And so we have to be able to tailor what is the right thing to do for our personal mix. And so to do that, we have to make sure that we are in the right areas. With that, first and foremost, requires you to have a strategy of some form so you know why you're investing, what you expect out of it, how does it fit in what you're trying to achieve. Now, one of the things that we've looked at using alternatives for, the income. We're looking for something that has a better than a bond income with a different type of correlation. Not better or worse correlation, just a different correlation. Not less or more aggressive necessarily, different risk. And so we have different things working at different times, but we also want to be rewarded for taking the risks that we're taking. And in many cases, they can pay a nice dividend, nice distribution, I should say, to help us meet our income needs. That's why foundations use them. That's why pension plans use them. And in many cases, that's why somebody that has more than $100,000, $200,000 in their portfolio might want to add a portion to their portfolio.
So the idea is to find, as something's going down, something's going maybe up a little bit or down.
Or not being affected by this going up or down.
Exactly. You want something that's perhaps has the chance to go the other way.
or just not be affected. If this is going down, I don't want it to make this go down.
Exactly, which it would by nature means it's not doing what the other one is doing.
Whether it goes up or not, I'm less concerned about that than everything going down at
once.
Well,
to me, not going down and staying the same is like being up. That's me. Okay, we're gonna take your calls. When we come back, I wanna get to, we had a fixed annuity question. I think it was David in Boulder, Colorado. So hold on, David. We're gonna get to you immediately when we come back. Still two, three lines open right now. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, answering your money questions when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, taking your calls. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. I don't want to remind you too, and I should do this because I don't think I've done this for a while, that on Tuesday afternoons right here at, if you happen to be at WealthEd.com, if not, you go there to WealthEd.com. It's the Social Security Show featuring me, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, courtesy of Lucia Capital Group, talking all about Social Security. Tuesday afternoons, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Again, it's only at WealthEd.com. So if you want to learn about Social Security, you want to get your Social Security questions answered, learn all about strategy, laws, rules, it all happens right there, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern, every Tuesday at WealthEd.com. Our number, 877-PLANNER, as promised. Let's get back to the phone lines. Up next, David in Boulder, Colorado. Hello, David. How can we help you today?
How are you guys today?
Great. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. So I am looking at a single payment deferred fixed annuity for my bucket number two.
Okay.
I'm a little surprised at the yield that's being represented, which is 6% compounded guaranteed plus a 5% bonus.
Well, you should be surprised. That's a lot.
Okay.
There you go.
Nobody is guaranteeing 6% on top of a 5% bonus. Nobody's guaranteeing 6% without the bonus right now. What they're talking about is a roll-up, not of the cash value, but of an income base that you can at some point in the future turn a guaranteed income on from there. So it's not a true bucket number two. It's a lifetime income product. I'm not saying it would be the bad thing for you, but what is it you want from this particular investment? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, you know, again, our bucket number one, I have a lot of rental real estate that's going to primarily generate our income in retirement, which starts at the end of the year.
Okay.
Our bucket number one is primarily to pay income taxes for the next 10 years.
Okay.
At the end of that 10-year period, you know, we would start into bucket number two, and I would start liquidating real estate. Again, what was attractive was this yield, and also as it was represented to me, you know, he said, yeah, you get your 6% compound, and at the end of 10 years, if you want to cash that out and walk away, that's your money. So,
no.
Again, the way it was presented, I was really feeling confused because it seemed to not conform with what I understood about
right.
these types of investments.
The 6% is an income base. The 6% will roll up, and so it will... And after 10 years, it probably, from what I'm listening to, has a 10-year surrender. If you want to cash it out in 10 years, you can cash it out in 10 years. You will get the entire cash accumulation value at that time without a surrender charge, because it sounds like the surrender period is 10 years and then there's no surrender charge. Will you get the income base, the portion of it that went up at 6% a year? No. You'll get something lower than that. So everything he said was true as long as you don't take them as a continuation of the same subject. Will it get a 6% increase every year on the income base? Yes. Will you be able to cash it in at the end of 10 years and walk away? Yes. Will you be able to cash in the 6% compounding income base? No.
So that's why it's tied to an index as well, because it was like a two-phase thing. He said, well, you get the 6%, or if you beat the market with your indexes, less management fee, you get that. But what I'm hearing you say is the 6% is only if I annuitize.
Well, it's not an
index.
Annuitization necessarily.
Payout?
It's a payout rate, but the payout is coming from your cash value. The cash value, this is, there's two pieces to the puzzle here. There's the income base, which is a fictitious accounting ledger, and it keeps track of what the insurance company will guarantee to pay you for the rest of your life at some point in the future. On the other side, you have the cash accumulation value. The cash accumulation value is 100% of what you put in, maybe with a bonus, plus an interest payment that is based on the index. The index is, you know, the S&P, the Russell 2000, a blended index, all kind, you know, could be anything. So if the index is positive, you'll be, you'll receive some interest on your account, your cash value that year. If the index is negative, you won't be paid any interest on your account that year, the cash value. They are not going to pay you 6% or whatever the index does, whichever is greater, on your actual cash value. They will do that on the income base. So if the income base is, you know, you put in 100 grand, at the end of the year, it's guaranteed to be 106. I'm ignoring the bonus for right now, just for math purposes.
Right.
And if for some reason that you're contract had an index cap and everything that went on that allowed for an 8% interest, they would pay you 8% on interest, and so now your 108 cash value would be 108, and they'd look at which one's higher, the guaranteed 6% roll up or the one, or the cash value. If the cash value is higher, they'll reset the income base to that 108. Now there is about a 0.00000000001% chance
that's giving
that the
it all
index
the best.
Will do better than the 6%. They're not designed to. They're not, the insurance company doesn't want it to. They're designed to do 3 to 5% on average. Now, some years it may be better, but some years it's going to be worse. Obviously, a year like we've seen so far this year, if it were cashing in right now, if it were terming right now for the 1 year, we'd have a 0% interest rate for the last year because the market hasn't done a whole lot, right? So there's two sides. What do you get and when do you get it? Now, 10 years from now, let's say the income base is $200,000. And your cash value is 150. I'm making these numbers up, but they're probably not too far off from reality. You are allowed to take a percentage of, they calculate a distribution to you as a percentage of the income base. It might be 5%. So 200,000, that means you could take $10,000 a year guaranteed for the rest of your life. Where's that 10,000 coming from? It's coming from your cash value. So the cash value stays in the guaranteed account. It earns the interest each year. They pull the 10 out, they add the interest, if any. They pull the 10 out, they add to it. And the key is that if that cash value goes to zero, the insurance company will guarantee that you continue to get 10,000 for the rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. But you're not earning 6% on that cash value. If you live 30, 40 years, you're probably gonna earn 3 to 5%, maybe.
Okay. So this
is not what you're looking for. Now, using an index annuity for a bucket number two, or something of a structured note component aspect where it has a slight downside or some downside risk but a much higher cap, is still appropriate for a bucket number two, potentially, for somebody who doesn't like to see big swings in our cash value, big swings down.
But
take away the income base, take away the guaranteed income that you don't need. You want something that has very low volatility, some rate of return better than bonds and CDs potentially, and the access to 100% of what you have at 7, 8, 10 years down the line. You don't need a guaranteed income for the rest of your life 10 years from now. You've got a pretty good job of that. So you want something different. It's basically, you want the underlying investment stripping the rider off of it. Now, they don't like selling them to you because, I mean, and because to be honest, the cap rates aren't that exciting. It's much easier to sell you a 6% guarantee than a 3 to 5% potential, right?
Right.
But that's what they are, 3 to 5, and the structured maybe a little bit more.
Okay. So again, just to kind of restate, the 6% is all about taking the lifetime payout.
Oh, yes.
And doesn't necessarily really represent the value, the cash value of that account. If you're going for cash value, that's always going to be tied to the index.
Yes, very much so.
Excellent. Well, this has been very helpful because, as I said, it just sounded too good to be true.
And it was.
And it sounds like it was.
Well, so. I'm glad. Yeah, David, I'm glad you noticed that, because there are people who don't necessarily recognize that, and they kind of just see what the sales pitch is.
Well, I figure anytime they're offering you double, you know, the projected return for the next 10 years.
Something's up.
It's optimistic. So, well, I appreciate it. You guys have a great radio show. I've been listening to you for years, so I do appreciate the time.
Thank you, David. If you have any other questions or need any assistance on this, please hold on, and Professor Plum will talk to you more about it.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're inappropriate
bad. No,
for everybody.
That's right. Yeah.
It didn't fit what David was trying to do. He wasn't looking for guaranteed lifetime income. He was looking for something with a guarantee of principal, maybe, but some rate of return that he could access all the money in the next couple, you know, 8 to 10 years.
And there,
so it just didn't fit his needs.
Right. And there are people, though, who don't care so much about a rate of return.
The income is wonderful.
They want the guaranteed income. They really couldn't care less what happens to it.
Right. And they want to make sure that they don't see large swings in their cash value, that if they die too soon, there's some cash left over for their heirs. Mm-hmm. And if they live too long, there's a guaranteed income forever and ever and ever. That's the person that should be looking at a guaranteed income product, not somebody who wants access to the cash, all of the cash, at any point in their life.
No, because you're actually paying
for that
guarantee of a lifetime income, are you not?
You're either paying an overt fee where you can see it every year.
Or it's in the rate of return.
Or it's baked into what they're paying you. That's very common because when people started realizing there was fees and the insurance companies started saying, well, this one doesn't have a fee. Well, it's because they reduced the rate of return.
You're paying for it either way.
They don't do it for free.
Well, they make you think they do. They would like you to think that they do because they're just, you know, benevolent. Okay, great questions. Again, thank you, David. Glad you asked that. We have more to talk about. But if you've got questions on anything else, that or whatever's on your mind, you call, ask us about it. We'll tell you what it is you have, and we'll tell you if it's appropriate for you or not. We'll do our very best right here on this program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Oh, back to back. This is great. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. I got another hour coming up, too, in many portions of this of the country that pick up our TV and radio show, so you'll get a whole lot more of this. Emails still to come. If you want to email us, you go to our website, wealthed.com. We'll try to answer as many as we can next hour. And if you want to get in touch with us on the phone, of course, 877-PLANNER. And I mentioned wealthed.com. I should tell you again that the Brain Trust will be traveling the country. Professor Plum and I were just talking about this off the air. If you want to meet the professor, you want to meet Terry Keyes, whom you hear on the show every once in a while, and of course the local advisors from Lucia Capital Group, you can do so at one of the many retirement income strategies workshops that they got going on across the country. We got several coming up shortly, and if you would like to take part, it's all free. Best thing to do is either go to wealthed.com. You can give us a call here too, by the way, but wealthed.com. Find out where we're going to be. Sign up. It's all free. Brain Trust will be in your city answering your money questions. You come learn about retirement income challenges and strategies to help, we hope, overcome those challenges and get your money questions answered too. Even if it's off topic, it doesn't matter. Think of the money questions that you have. Ask the Brain Trust in person, either in front of the group or right after the show. Once again, wealthed.com, Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. That's where you go to find out where we are going to be. All right, 877-PLANNER. Before we get out for the top of the hour, Professor Plum, we were talking before about these alternative investments. You have normally stocks, bonds, cash. That's what people tend to think of. Those are sort of your standard what?
Right. Well, just the everyday. I mean, it's what we've had in our 401ks. It's
sure,
what we
of
have
course.
In our IRAs for the most part.
Yeah.
It's what we're kind of used to. It's what we're it's what brokers tend to pitch.
Right. So outside of that would be something that you might call an alternative investment.
Right. And last segment we're talking to
That was David. Yes.
About a hybrid annuity, a guaranteed lifetime income annuity, and that technically would be a type of an alternative. And when we're talking about buckets, bucket 1, 2, and 3, spend down bucket number 1 over the next 6, 7, 8 years, refill it with bucket number 2 for another 5, 6, 7 years worth of income, making sure we have a long enough time horizon for the bucket number 3. We'll bookend those three basic core buckets with alternatives. Alternative lifetime income, if lifetime income is necessary, to create a baseline income that no matter what happens, you can't outlive, and to create a stable income potential from the other alternative. So we've got on each side of the buckets, we've got these potential alternative investments that somebody may want to use. They're not for everybody, but for some people, they may be, you know, have both of them. Maybe they don't have the lifetime income, but they've got the alternatives. Maybe they don't have the alternatives, but they have the lifetime income, depending upon the individual the risk that they do or do not want to take, the income that they do or do not want to take, the guarantees that they do or do not want to have within their portfolio. And they add to the portfolio in different ways, both from a potential return volatility relationship or from an emotional guarantee relationship where we know that no matter what happens, that income stream, the insurance company has guaranteed that income stream. As long as that insurance company stays in force, we get our income stream forever and ever and ever.
So these do have a place in a standard buckets type strategy that
sure.
we talk about all the time.
Not for every person.
No, of course not.
But for a lot of people, depending upon what they're trying to achieve. If it's more growth orientation, more income, but they're willing to take a little bit of volatility or lack of liquidity on a portion of the portfolio, the alternatives that we were talking about at the beginning of the hour make a lot of sense. If you want a baseline guaranteed income in addition to your Social Security and pensions, if you have those, then the alternative income from the lifetime income side of it could be an important aspect. But you still, there is no one investment that you would put all of your money into. And I hate seeing this. Somebody goes in to see an advisor and they take their entire $600,000 IRA, 401k, their entire portfolio and put it into a lifetime income contract when they didn't need lifetime income in the first place. It needs to be dialed in and tailored to your needs. Should you use some of it? Well, it depends. Do you need income? Do you want that discorrelation and a higher cash flow than you can get from a bond alternative or something of that nature? So there's different reasons to be using them.
Now,
and they're not for everybody.
Can I, you know, I would think for most people, but again, please correct me if I'm wrong, that just to have that correlation somewhere, that something that doesn't do what stocks and bonds are going to do, does not work in lockstep. To me, I would say, well, why not have it? Who should not consider something like that?
Somebody who can't handle the lack of liquidity, somebody who can't leave their hands off of it for a while, and somebody who doesn't understand the discorrelation. There are times where people, the only thing they do, and unfortunately, it doesn't always work well, is compare their portfolio to what they read about in the news, what they see on the news, what they read about in the paper and the periodicals. And the only thing they talk about is how did it do compared to the S&P 500? How did it do compared to the benchmark that they're setting, which may or may not have anything to do with the portfolio they're dealing with? So at times, I've heard people say these alternatives are great, and at times, I've heard people say these alternatives are horrible. And they're right. Both classes were right at the time. Because there's times when they do really well and times when they don't do as well. There's nothing that does well every time, in every circumstance, in every area. But we have to look at what we bought them for. Unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, we saw this happen in the real estate, straight direct real estate investments in 2005, 6, 7, where people were borrowing money like crazy to buy real estate because it was like, in their minds, a sure thing. And real estate has a long-term time horizon. Sure, from time to time, short-term time horizons do very well. But to make sure that you have the ability to potentially make money, the longer that your staying power is, the more likely you're going to make money from a real estate type of investment. Staying power is key. Unfortunately, people looked at it, they could get in and get out whenever they wanted to, and it didn't work that way. So assumptions, expectations, they're very important. And unfortunately, we tend to go into investments with rosy expectations, very high assumptions, mm-hmm. and in many cases, that is a recipe for failure in almost every time. Now, real estate, we heard a stat, one of our trivia stats from a couple of weeks ago was that the average median price of a home in October of 2005 versus October of 2015, we were just about back to where we were 10 years ago on the average home in the U.S. That tells you that it takes time for real estate to work. I remember people that bought houses, especially in Southern California in 1989. 6-7 years later, they were still down 20-30-40%.
Hey, I was one of them. It took me almost 9 years just to get almost back to where I was.
15 years later, they were up by 250%.
Go figure. All right, now we're out of time. If you have questions on any of this or you need to talk to Professor Plum off the air, any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to the professor or the advisors about your individual situation. Another hour is just ahead. Stick around. There's more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.